Sports Day for Kia. Kia's open season on now with match-winning deals.
Good evening and welcome to Sports Day. Adam Papalia and Glenn Jakovic with you tonight. Great to have your company on the program. Got a busy, busy show coming up. 9221 882 is the phone number. And I send that out first because we've got a $50 Bottle-O voucher up for grabs. But Adam Simpson, coach of the West Coast Eagles, is going to be our first guest when he joins us live in about 10 minutes or so. Eagles fans, if you've got any questions that you want us to throw at the Eagles coach, ring them through now. 9221 882 or SMS 0487 999 882, and we'll be endeavour to put your questions across to the West Coast Eagles coach, who will join us very, very shortly on the show. We'll keep you right up to date with the cricket. The Scorchers in action and looking pretty good, Jacko, after restricting Hobart to just 139, so 140 the target.
Hello, Adam, and to all our listeners. Number 15, the Scorchers, up 2.4 over, so they're going quite nicely. Early start, early days yet, but to keep the Hurricanes down 139, they bowled exceptionally well and fielded really well. So they're in good form, the Scorchers, and I think they'll go in the top four or five tonight if all things being equal.
If they can take full points from it, it'd be great to see if Roy and Livingston could get amongst the runs, because they have been a bit patchy since they came into the team. No Colin Munro, of course, tonight for the Scorchers, who is out with a quad injury. Cam Bancroft coming in, and Mitch Marsh out through injury bowling today.
Finished
halfway through an over.
I was watching some of the replays there. He pulled up lame a few times. So, it'd be interesting to see if he'd be fit for the next match.
We'll keep you right up to date with the Scorchers. As I said, Eagles coach Adam Simpson, not too far away. If you've got any thoughts or questions for the Eagles coach, 9221 882. If you want to ring them through, we'll check in with a new signing for the Western Force. Their Irish superstar and Rob Carney has landed on our shores, and we will chat to him a little bit later on in the program. WA pole vaulter and Nina Kennedy to join us as well, and we'll update the Speedway a little bit later on in the show, but keep you right up to date with everything going on. And it's been a big news day. Some updates around what the quarantine restrictions are for the tennis players when they're arriving in Australia, with a couple of COVID cases emerging during the warm-up tournament or the qualifying tournament over there in Doha. The Australian Formula One Grand Prix has been moved back as well. That's not going to be here until November, and confirmation today of round two of the NBL, or some extra fixtures in round the next rounds of the NBL, with the Wildcats to take on the South East Melbourne Phoenix on the 24th of January for their first fixture. But the big news today, I guess, Jack, and we spoke about it a lot on the show last night, was Tim Payne and the verbal barrage, I guess, he was giving to Ravi Ashwin, who was also engaging in that conversation, albeit not the one driving it. Tim Payne wasn't scheduled to face the media today, but he put himself forward, and this is what he had to say.
I want to apologise for the way I went about things yesterday. I'm someone who prides themselves on the way I lead this team, and yesterday was a poor reflection of that. My leadership wasn't good enough. I let the pressure of the game, I suppose, get to me. It sort of affected my mood, and then from there affected my performance. So I think yesterday when I came off the ground, my reflection was purely on my wicket-keeping, sort of sitting back last night and reflecting on the whole game. You know, I think I said to our players yesterday, I think I've had a really poor game as a leader, not so much as a captain, but certainly as a leader. I'm a captain who wants to enjoy the game. I'm a captain who wants to play the game with a smile on their face. And yesterday I fell short of my expectations and our team's standards. So I'm human. I want to apologise for the mistakes that I made yesterday. Certainly, as I said, not a reflection of the way I want to lead this team. You know, we've set really high standards over the last 18 months, and yesterday was certainly a bit of a blip on the radar and something that I felt that I needed to come out and address. Yeah, bitterly disappointed with the way I went about it.
Tim Payne there, the Australian captain, as part of our hot topic for expert car air conditioning service you can rely on. Visit repcoservice.com. Talking with Ollie earlier on, I think the calls for Tim Payne not to be captain of the Australian team are a bit premature. Certainly based on this, I think he's done an exceptional job over the, ever since the sandpaper gate when he had to step in and take on the role. Yes, he had a bad game. We gave him a sledge last night during Slaps and Sledges for the way that he was out there talking and the way he handled himself through the test match. But you got to give him a slap today for coming out, fronting up, apologising, and he's going to be better. I think that's a great example of leadership that he's shown today.
Yeah, he had a bad day, had a bad game. But like you mentioned, it wasn't a scheduled press conference. He obviously thought about it last night, and he felt probably really bad about his performance and how he led the country. And we gave him a sledge last night, definitely give him a slap today. On the back, well done, Tim Payne. Stay captain, be strong. He has been strong. He led us in the Ashes series really, really well. We won that series, and we're right in the hunt to win this fourth test at the Gabba. If they get up and win it, their ranking will be number one and everything will be forgotten.
Got any thoughts on that? 9221 882, our hot topic. Thanks to Repco, you'll be blown away with car air conditioning service at Repco, authorised service. Book at repcoservice.com. Just an update in the cricket, thanks to Maccas. Liam Livingston has just played one of the more remarkable ramp shots that you've ever seen. He's ramped it for six, straight back over his head, and went a long way back too. Up over the top of the sight screen. So the Scorchers making a good start there. We'll keep you up to date with that. To the phones, Donnie and Spielwood's going to kick us off. I'm sure he's got an Eagles question. G'day, Donnie.
Good afternoon, boys. Listen, pap, pap, pap. Tim Payne, before I get on to the Eagles. Tim Payne, forget it. Mate, you're the captain. You are the leader. Don't worry about coming out in front of a camera to stay apologising. Absolute garbage. You rush to vilify someone, whatever.
No, he didn't do that, Don.
I know that. But whatever he said doesn't matter. He's a captain. You tell me, when did you see Matthew Powell, John Walsh, Robert Harvey, and these fellas, I mean, in the Battle of Gladiators? They never come out and, accuse someone or abuse whatever. They don't come out. I apologise. Nah. You don't do it. As simple as that. And I reckon they should be stripped. Can you put a question to Simo?
Yep.
I rate this young fella that got from Geelong, they put him on the rookie list, Jermaine Jones. I reckon he could do anything. I mean, he's a very skillful. I don't know why the Geelong let him go, but unfortunately he did his hammy last year. But, I rate him.
Okay.
Put a message to him and ask him, how's he going?
I will do. Thanks, Don. Craig's in Warmbra. G'day, Craig.
G'day, guys. How's things?
Good, mate. Far away.
Listen, Tim Payne's got to get a lot of respect for what he's done. He's the man to come out and say what he said is wrong, which is fine. You got to accept that, and I agree with you guys wholeheartedly. However, what everyone hasn't even talked about is the fact that Richard Punt, who got hit on the elbow, is able to come out and bat without any protection on his arm or anything like that. Where is the story on that one, rather than just focusing on what Tim Payne's done?
We did speak about that a little bit, Craig, and thanks very much for your call yesterday. I certainly did with Ollie as well. The issue obviously being that Punt didn't field. Saha was there, who is a better keeper in the field. He did the fielding innings for India, and Punt sat on the sidelines and then came back in. That's part of the new rules. It's a bit hard to argue against when it's been ticked off by a doctor.
That's right.
There's really not too much to argue about. I mean, we could all have a guess about what may have happened or what things are going on. Maybe he just needed the time to get back out there. But they're the rules, Craig, at the moment. It was ticked off by the doctor, so it's a bit hard to argue with, even if I get what you're alluding to. Yeah. Thanks for your call, mate. 9221 882 is the phone number. Before we get to Adam Simpson, who'll join us very, very shortly, an emergency bushfire warning for those in place for southern parts of Atwell, northern parts of Auburn Grove, and western parts of Banjup. So please listen out if you're in those areas. The southern parts of Atwell, northern parts of Auburn Grove, and western parts of Banjup. For people in homes on and nearby Prosperity Loop, it's too late to leave. Leaving now would be deadly. You need to shelter in your home in a room away from the firefront and make sure you can easily escape. The rest of the warning area is for people bounded by Lion Road, Euphony Way, Beanyup Road, and Freyson A Court. You're in danger and need to act immediately to survive. There is a threat to lives and homes. If the way is clear, leave now for a safer place. The bushfire is moving in a northeasterly direction. It is out of control and unpredictable. Burning embers are likely to be blown around your home. Road closures are in place, including Gibbs Road between Tapper Road and Lion Road, Lion Road between Auburn Grove Link and Gibbs Road. For more information, it can be found on the Emergency WA website. So if you need more information, Emergency WA website is the place to go, and this emergency bushfire warning remains in place for the southern parts of Atwell, northern parts of Auburn Grove, and western parts of Banjup. Adam Simpson, the West Coast Eagles coach, will join us very, very shortly here on Sports Day. You can ring and say anything in sport that takes your fancy. 9221 882. Put yourself in the running for the $50 Bottle-O voucher. This is Sports Day.
Sports Day for Kia. Kia's open season. On now with match-winning deals.
Thanks so much for your company on the program tonight. Adam Papalia, Glenn Jakovich with you. An update in the cricket thanks to Macca's. The Scorchers, none for 44, going really well through six overs. Roy's on 28, Livingston on 14. The target just 140 that they are chasing as Roy smashes another four there. So they're almost at the bash boost target with only three more runs to get. They're only six overs in. So going very, very well. Great to see for the Scorchers as they try to get their run rate up. But let's get into our news headlines thanks to Car Sales, number one for cars. And very pleased to say that our guest, our first guest on the show tonight, is the coach of the West Coast Eagles in Adam Simpson, who joined us. Adam, thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, no worries, boys. Thanks for having me.
Great to have a chat to you. Happy New Year as well. How, firstly, was the off-season if a senior coach actually does get an off-season?
A little bit different. I suppose we finished the season later, even though we didn't go too deep into finals. But we couldn't leave the state, so a bit like everyone else in WA, you got to see a bit more of the state. So I did the obligatory down south with a million flies, and everyone I saw in Perth I saw down south for a few weeks. And then spent Christmas just with our family for the first time. So no family outside of the immediate. And then bit of planning and back to work in January. So, yeah, ready to go.
Glad to hear you got a bit of a break. I can agree with you. The flies are terrible down south as well. Simo, you mentioned the early finish in the finals. What's the fire like in the belly after the finish to last season?
Oh, that's a good question, Adam. I mean, it's hard to define because every season is a new one, but it just feels like there's been a bit of a gap now between 2018 and 21. So I feel like already there's been a few different levers we've pulled in a week that we've been here. It's a different feel and it's exciting. So yeah, we're the boys are in a pretty good space mentally, physically. They've done the right thing on their own, and I mean, Jacko, I'll tell you, if you gave me 14 weeks off before I had to turn up to training, I don't know how I'd turn up. So it, credit to the players and their professionalism. Most of them have come back in pretty good nick. So it feels like a different journey, a different campaign, and I think that's the first step towards hopefully advancing a bit further and having a bit more of a different spin on the season. So I don't know how well I explained that, but it just definitely feels like a different step towards hopefully some more success.
Adam, you mentioned the early finish to the final series last year. Did you underachieve with the squad that you had?
Well, it's an interesting question, Jack. We had a whole squad to use. I mean, we hit a sweet spot throughout the season. I think we won eight in a row after a poor start, and six of those games were at home. And then we lost to Richmond, I think, off, you know, back up in Queensland. And then we really hit a difficult period where we knew it was going to be a challenge, but we lost probably eight or nine of our best 22. And we dropped two games. And you go into the finals and we miss top four by percentage, and we lose the first final by a point. So long answer to your question, but I think we did miss an opportunity, and it's probably for the second year in a row. But probably a reflection of our expectations, Jacko. I mean, we've got a strong list, but, you know, we had to use every player almost last year and really got tested. And when we got everyone back for that first final, we perhaps weren't at our best. And Collingwood had a really good backs against the wall win. So I suppose every year you don't finish top four, you feel like you've underachieved.
Do you think you have a top two team for a contender this year?
I don't know. It's really hard to tell. I mean, you'd love to think that's the case, but it's really difficult to project, you know, the draw, which team's going to bounce up, your injuries, anything off the field that's happening. You know, that one thing I do know, you do need to get everything right off the field with how your clubs run and the management and no off-field issues and some stability. So I feel like we're in a pretty good space for that, but it is difficult to tell. I mean, you know, there's a lot of teams knocking on the door. And whilst I say all that, I think I've got plenty of confidence in our players that they've got the hunger. So that's the first step.
Adam, Tim Kelly, a high prize recruit, had an indifferent year last year. Has his role changed from his role that he had at Geelong? Do you see that role differently?
A different style of play, Jacko. And I think we're going to have a little bit of patience with his output, as much as he's played three AFL seasons. And, you know, we got him back home, and I think there was an adjustment for his own style of play. We play differently than Geelong. There's new connections he needs to make with midfielders and ruckmen. And look, he had some sensational games throughout the year, and you know, some games is a little bit off. So, I'm not putting any more pressure on than it's already there. We like him at his best. We think he's a long-term prospect for us. I think he's 25. So, hopefully we see the best of him in the next 5 to 7 years.
One player that the Eagles fans and all footy fans actually love watching is Oscar Allen. What role do you see him maturing into?
Yeah, well, he's, I think he's in his third or fourth year himself. He's a competitor, which is great. Local boy, and he's probably a little bit of an understudy to Josh Kennedy and Jack Darling at the moment. So one thing that happened last year is he pinched it in the ruck for us, which was good for everyone, and it got him in the game and allowed him to play in a different position. But I think with the game length going back out to 120 plus minutes, we're going to look at that and see if that doesn't burn him out. You know, it's okay when the game goes for 100 minutes and he's chopping out for Nick Nat. So we're going to work through that, but I don't think his long-term position will be key position forward.
Your defenders, your back six has been really good for you over a long period of time and a successful period, Adam. I just noticed last year I closely watched Tom Barras and Jeremy McGovern. Sides don't like them to have it on their own terms, and I felt in a couple of big games, Richmond and Collingwood in the final particular, they did a lot of body work and moved them off the line of the ball, which was surprising for me to see how big those two guys are. They got beaten on one-on-one contests. What craft work have they done to readjust that in the off-season?
We've been back for 2 sessions, Jacko. Give us a couple more weeks to work on it.
But you would have reviewed it. You would have reviewed it because opposition sides are starting to push them around a little bit. And one, well, in the final in particular, I noticed that they really went to town on Tom Barras.
Yeah, look, that's tactics, Jacko, and I think you got to be good enough to work your way around it. Gov's been copying it for years now. You know, to talk about defenders getting on the front foot, it's a bit foreign to the last couple of years. We're probably used to now having a strategy against our backs, because if you just play our defenders on their merit, then it's going to be a challenge. So they go in with a strategy. Sometimes it works, a lot of time it doesn't. Unfortunately, there's a few games here and there, a few quarters. I think the first quarter of the Collingwood game, Cox and a few of the guys took a few marks inside 50, but that's going to happen. They always want to get better. They're working on their craft, and they're working on what teams do to us to try and nullify our strengths, which, I mean, it's not surprising. Those guys have been good players for a while. So we'll keep working on it without changing too much of what we do.
Adam, Elliot Yeo, can you just give us an update on where he's at and how much he has been battling with that osteitis pubis problem?
Yeah, I think it was round 13 last year. We shut him down, which is really unfortunate. That was in the back end of when we hit that, you know, good run of form, and we missed him in the back end of the season, no doubt. The decision to rest him rather than going for surgery, I think, was the right one. We're progressing now to straight line running, and hopefully change of direction. He does that this week. I think I said it yesterday in a press conference. He's slowly, but it's advancing every week. So we haven't any hiccup yet. And to be honest, the real test is going to be in the next month when he integrates back into training and change of direction and gets his fitness base up and all those things. So we think there's plenty of time. But it is a week-to-week thing at the moment.
So are you confident or more hopeful that it'll be good to go for round one?
In between those two. I'm not stressed. If it's round two, I'll take that. If it's, you know, the pre-season first game will take that as well. So it's just whenever he's ready, and ideally it's round one. But it's interesting with the lack of eyes on our players. You normally have a bit of a build into a pre-season, and a taper, and then another build. Whereas I think now it's just build and then play. So there's not a lot of wriggle room for anyone who suffers an injury between now and the end of Feb. I mean, we play a game in, was it 5 weeks? We've got our first pre-season game. So it's going to come very quickly, boys.
Are you still under COVID restrictions in terms of training groups, or has that been relaxed now?
Been relaxed, but there's still a few, you know, procedures we've got to follow in regards to, you know, 20 people in a room for a meeting, and try and keep a record of things as we go in terms of the numbers. But we can train together, which is great. It was the first time we did that on Monday, because a lot longer, I suppose, where you can only train in groups of 10s. It is really hard to work on, you know, your team aspect of your game. So I'm glad they've been lifted for the moment, and fingers crossed it stays that way.
Adam, obviously last year was a difficult year for planning and preparation. What dialogue have you had with the AFL? Because we're all hopeful it's just going to go back to normal and crowds and home and away matches, but it's probably more than likely that we'll have hub life again.
Oh, I don't know, Jacko. It's the same. I'm the same as you guys. You just got your fingers crossed that, you know, we keep this thing under control. And, you know, one thing we're a lot more resilient than this time last year. We're more aware of the situation and have more understanding about what might happen. So we learn a lot, in particular off-field, I suppose. We're very process-driven, and we like to keep things very structured, and we had to change and divert a lot, which we learn a lot from. So, you know, we're ready for whatever comes to us this year. We're looking forward to the start of the season, and if it's in a hub, then so be it. If it's not, then hopefully we get as many fans as we can to the game. Like, that's the biggest thing we've all missed. I think fans have missed coming to watch us, and we've missed playing in front of them.
One of the players that we were excited to watch last year but got injured a bit, Jermaine Jones. How's he tracking along?
Yeah, he had some surgery at the end of the season. So he's coming back into training, I think, this week. So he's lost a bit of weight. First time I saw him, I thought, you know, he's no worries, he's pretty fit. But he's actually lost 4 kilos second year around. So... yeah, we now know he's got another level, which is great. So we're looking forward to seeing him. He's been in quarantine, so I actually haven't seen him. So unless he's been on the meat pies the last week and a bit, I think he's in good nick, and hopefully we get him injury free.
So what's the plan, or what's the numbers in terms of how many guys you've still got in quarantine, and when you think you'll have the full group back together?
Yeah, we've got 9 guys in quarantine. 4 of them come back tomorrow. So I think Gaff, Duggan, Nelson and Brander get to train back with the group tomorrow out of their quarantine. And then we've got another 5 guys who have to wait till next week. Unfortunately, they come back a bit later. So unfortunately, those guys have missed a bit of pre-season training. So they've been allowed to do a few training drills on their own, but largely they've been stuck in their houses.
Josh Kennedy and Shannon Hearn, how will you nurse them through the year? Give them a few rests, obviously, in the latter part of the season?
Yeah, I don't know, Jack. I'm working on that. It's new rules. So the rotations now, you can only have 75 a game, and the game length goes back out to 120 minutes, or, you know, yeah, 25 plus time, or whatever it is, 20 plus time on. And I'm not sure what to do with those boys, because they're presenting themselves really well now, and every time I go to plan management, we either really need them to play or they get injured anyway. Like, if JK, we were planning on resting him through that. We played 5 games in, I don't know, 20 days or something, and we're going to rest him, and he got knocked out in the first 2 minutes, and then he come back and rolled his ankle and missed the next, you know, 2 games. So we're planning, but without any concrete planning in it. But yeah, we'll see how we go and see what happens with these rotations.
Adam, really appreciate your time. Just a final one before we let you go. Any update on Willie Rioli and when we may have a verdict in his case?
Yeah, not yet. I spoke about this yesterday briefly. We've had our hearing. We're now waiting on a verdict. And once that decision is made, we'll take the next step. And as soon as we find out, we'll let everyone know.
Thanks, Adam. Appreciate your time on Sports Day tonight.
Good on you, boys. Have a good night.
Thanks, Adam.
Adam Simpson there, the coach of the West Coast Eagles. Your thoughts on that, Eagles fans? 9221 882 and how your side is shaping up for season 2021. There's going to be some big expectations around West Coast. How do you think they can go? 9221 882. Back with more in just a moment. The Scorchers flying in the cricket thanks to Maccas. They're none for 86, chasing 140 for victory. So well on target. This is Sports Day.
Sports Day for Kia. Kia's open season on now with match-winning deals.
This is Sports Day. Adam Papalia, Glenn Jakovich with you. 9221 882, the phone number. Put yourself in the running for that $50 Bottle-O voucher. Eagles fans, your thoughts on the chat with Adam Simpson. Your thoughts on your side heading into 2021. We'll get to your calls in a moment, but right now let's get a bushfire update with Chelsea Stone.
An emergency bushfire warning remains in place for the southern parts of Atwell, northern parts of Auburn Grove and western parts of Banjup. For people in homes on and nearby Prosperity Loop, it's too late to leave. Leaving now would be deadly. You need to shelter in your home in a room away from the fire front and make sure you can easily escape. The rest of the warning area is for people bounded by Lion Road, Euphony Way, Beanyup Road and Freycinet Court. You are in danger and need to act immediately to survive. There is a threat to lives and homes. If the way is clear, leave now for a safer place. The bushfire is moving in a northeasterly direction. It's out of control and unpredictable. Burning embers are likely to be blown around your home. Road closures are still in place, including Gibbs Road between Tapper Road and Lion Road, Lion Road between Auburn Grove Link and Gibbs Road. More information can be found on the Emergency WA website.
Thanks so much, Chelsea. Chelsea Stone there. We'll keep you right up to date with those bushfire alerts as we go throughout the evening. 9221 882 is the phone number. Jacko, what did you make of what Adam Simpson had to say?
Yeah, he's pretty open and forthright, and he's very honest in his appraisal and where they're leading to. But he did confirm that there was a missed opportunity last year and that the group is hungry. They've come back and then this time of the year, everyone's fit, everyone's healthy, everyone's strong. Be interesting to see how he does manage Shannon Hearn and Josh Kennedy now that you've got the full 20-minute quarters, 75 rotations. So, but he's got a strong list to work with, and the thing that he said, there's a hunger and a burning desire in the senior group because they're running out of time, this group. There's a core group that have played in that premiership, plus the opportunity last year they missed out on. A Tim Kelly coming through, which they sold the farm to get. They're in prime position now to launch in season 2021, and let's hope it's a perfect season all round. But our two teams, I believe, need a normal season, not the hub life. I think if our two teams got to go hub life again, I think they'll struggle.
They were so close to the top four the last two seasons, West Coast. Clearly for them, it's important to be able to get that double chance and try and win your way through to a preliminary final in the first week, or at least get another crack at it. Clearly, they were disappointed with the way they finished last year. They were raging favourites going into that match, except for a couple of good judges that tipped against them in Glenn Jakovich and Peter Sumich, I think, here on 882 6PR, who were tipping the Pies for a victory. Defence has always been good. Generating inside 50s has been an issue, and keeping it in their forward line has been an issue.
Well, they've got a powerful forward line. Their defence is rock solid, and an A-grade midfielder is right through. Yo's the big key for me. If he can get a solid season out, and Nat Nui can back up what he done last year in his All-Australian year. And then you need, a couple of young players to really step up. Liam Duggan really showed leadership qualities. Tom Cole was very, very good. Oscar Allen, I'd like to see him, be used more as a key forward. Josh Kennedy, the thing is, if they go into hub life, Kennedy, Shannon Hearn, the senior type players, they get a couple of injuries, they're going to struggle in the back end of the year. It's just Mother Nature. When you're 32, 33, a little calfy, a little tweak, a hamstring, that just stalls your preparation, and you can't be at your optimum leading in the back end of the year when you're playing the big teams like a Richmond or a Collingwood like they did in that final. They just fell short by that little bit.
This isn't our official early look at West Coast. That'll be coming up over the next couple of nights. We'll revisit a few things. But Elliot Yeo with osteitis pubis,
it's a
tough injury to overcome. There are some real concerns over his fitness for the start of the season.
If I can just use a quick example, 1991, Guy McKenna had the same injury. And 92 was a big year for us, obviously. But they didn't rush Guy back. They saw him in the back end of the year. I think he made his comeback game around 9. round 10 and 11, somewhere around that period. He played the back end of the year and he got better. And that's, if that's what it's got to take for Elliot Yeo, he'll be, you know, jumping at the bit to get out there round one. But if he's not ready, you only have to go a slight mishap and it puts you back. The whole season's gone.
You've seen lots of instances of it in the past, and also with teams that elect to have the surgery or not elect to have the surgery, and, yep. and how it progresses from there. He's going to be a fascinating player to keep track of as we get closer and closer. We do build up round one a fair bit, yeah. as Adam Simpson said. Round two is okay as well, but round one's always, I guess, what everyone's aiming for. Not just to get to round one, to be really ready to go and have a little bit of work behind you.
And especially the shortened season or preparation into round one. Adam just mentioned you can't afford to have a little mishap at training. You're going to miss out on the first 18.
Cricket update. Thanks to Maccas, the McRib and El Macco are back at Maccas this summer. The Scorchers going really well. We've been waiting for Jason Roy and Liam Livingston to really show us some fireworks at the top of the order for the Perth Scorchers. They're doing that. The ramp shots are going galore with those tonight so far. Roy up to 58 off 40, Livingston 41 off 32, and a 100 run partnership to start things for the Scorchers in their run chase. They're 101, none for 101 off 12 overs. Is only chasing 140.
They're in a hurry.
I reckon they'll get there. They must be in a hurry to get things done. I think the run rate's clearly, like when you're chasing a short total, if you can really go for it, then you can get your run rate up, which is going to be important because they started so slowly. They're going to be battling with some of those teams, but they're getting up towards a finals position now. 9221 882 is the phone number. We'll continue our AFL season preview next when we come back and we'll talk about the Collingwood Footy Club.
Sports Day for Kia. Kia's open season. On now with match-winning deals.
Great to have your company on the show tonight. Adam Papalia, Glenn Jakovich with you. And let's get a cricket update. Thanks to Maccas, the Saucy McRib and legendary El Macco are back at Maccas this summer for a limited time only. The Perth Scorchers are on the table going to leapfrog over the top of the Hobart Hurricanes because they are heading towards a pretty commanding victory. Still yet to lose a wicket. None for 100 odd are the Perth Scorchers and only chasing 140. So they are thrashing their way towards victory. We'll keep you up to date with that as they hopefully bring up full points from that game very soon. Glenn Jakovich, our AFL previews continue as well. We've been rolling through the teams. We move into the top eight now. They did win through in the first week of the finals last week, but they finished eighth on the table at the end of the home and away. The Collingwood Football Club, who had the most controversial off-season of all the clubs.
Yes, they certainly did. Finish eighth last year, 9 wins, 7 losses and a draw. Now, their first six rounds is very interesting because the four of the six are at the MCG. They got the Western Bulldogs, Carlton, Brisbane, GWS, West Coast over here, and then Essendon, which is the Anzac Day blockbuster. So they can be in a very healthy position. Obviously, a lot of turmoil in the off-season with their list, which has been spoken about. But I look at their core group with Brody Grundy, Steel Sidebottom, Scott Pendlebury, Darcy Moore, who's now elevated himself right up as one of the premier defenders in the competition, Taylor Adams, All-Australian last year, Levi Greenwood, Braden Maynard, who's certainly a big player as well for them. What fascinates me with Collingwood is for a side that has got a lot of stars, and obviously some have left now, defensively, they're third in the competition, so they're very strong down back, led by Roughhead. Chris Mayne down there has rejuvenated himself since he's left Fremantle. Jeremy Howe, Braden Maynard, who's a top level footballer in the competition, and Jack Cripps. But offensively, they were 13th. And when you've got the likes of... Now, Jamie Elliott needs a full season. He needs to stay fit. Jordan DeGoey, apparently those two tore up the track this week so far, looking $1 million, looking well. Josh Dacos comes into that mix, who's going to be a star player. Mason Cox and Brody Majacek. How much can you get out of that combination? They're bits players. They're not your Tom Lynch or your Josh Kennedy. You admire the way they go about it, but they're not a duo that's going to win you a premiership. And that really concerns me. What's their mental state after what's happened with... the fallout with the players being, you know, dumped out of the football club. It was turmoil. Eddie McGuire's now, you know, resigned at the post of 2021. They say that is off-field, but it does seep into the players, and I think they're starting to miss an opportunity. They built this list and getting rid of Treloar, Stevenson. they're big players. They're A-grade players, and they've had to dump some of their salary somewhere else. So it's a very fascinating scenario where the Collingwood Football Club find themselves. But they know internally what they're doing. I'll back them to play finals football again, but I got them finishing the bottom part of the eight because their scoring concerns me. They win the ball off half back, they play slow play to get it out wide to the wings, and then they go fast. But their forward line is, to me, is not productive, and I think you can play their forwards quite well and you can defend very well against them. They like to go quick. Look out for Isaac Quayner. I really like him. I think he's going to be a player of emergence. Trey Roscoe, WA boy, looking forward to seeing him getting more opportunities. Look out for Anthony Toll. He's the son of Anthony. So he's Anton. He's an Irishman. He came over here and he was one of the second Irish or third Irishmen that came after Jimmy Steins.
Yep.
And come from a wealth of knowledge and a successful Gaelic background. So really looking forward to seeing him getting his opportunity. But look, they've got a very good list with Will Hoskin, Elliot, Josh Thomas, Levi Greenwood, Callum Brown, Tyler Brown is his brother. They've got talent there. But it's the scoring, 13th last year. If you're going to play finals football, you can't go into a finals campaign being ranked 13th or out of the top eight in scoring, in my opinion.
Jordan Ngoi, do you play him one out of the goal square? Does he not spend any time in the midfield because you need him in the forward line? Mason Cox, you can't really rely on him yet to consistently be that big key forward like we've spoken about, like a Josh Kennedy or a Tom Lynch.
Yeah, well, that's what they're lacking. And Jordan Ngoi, you're going to find he's going to be in the midfield, majority of the time when the chips are down and they're struggling. They need some energy out of the middle of the ground because he can win his own ball and he can break packs open, but who's he going to kick it to? He can't kick it to himself. So it's pivotal that Jamie Elliott, but where's their duo? And they're not two tall timbers like Rewalt and Tom Lynch or a Kennedy and Darling who've served so well and won premierships between them. So
did you think Ben Brown would have been a good fit at the Pies?
I thought, yes, he definitely would have been, yeah.
Yeah, I was surprised that they didn't go harder for him.
Because then you build around him. You get Ngoi and you get Elliott playing around him. Obviously, he's going to kick, your 30 to 40-plus goals, fully fit. And with that midfield, still got an A-grade midfield with Sidebottom and Pendlebury. They can deliver the ball really well.
Oh, he's gone to the Demons. Missed opportunity maybe for Collingwood. That's Glenn Jakovich's summation of the Magpies for season 2021. Liam Livingston's just brought up his 50. Scorchers not far away from victory now at Optus Stadium. This is Sports Day.
Sports Day for Kia. Kia's open season. On now with match-winning deals.
Thanks for your company on Sports Day. The laughter is because we've been watching, whilst listening to Chelsea read the news, watching the Perth Scorchers complete their victory over the Hobart Hurricanes by 9 wickets, but a bit of laughter on the final ball, which was just hooked around the corner, and the man at deep fine leg dropped the catch and then couldn't find the ball, was looking around. The Scorchers only needed 2 to win. The misfield was enough for them to scoot through, get the victory, and make it another win in a row. They've been on absolute fire. The only concern, an injury to Mitch Marsh, who had to stop bowling during the fielding innings for the Scorchers with a side strain, and been consoled a little bit by some of his teammates because he's had such a wretched run with injury. But the Perth Scorchers batting lineup got the job done. Jason Roy, 72, not out, and Liam Livingston with the 54, and the Scorchers with the 9 wicket victory. Plenty coming up on the show in this second hour of Sports Day. We're going to check in with our Western Force, Rob Carney, Irish superstar, landed in WA a couple of days ago. He's finished his quarantine over there in Brisbane and he's had his first training session with the Western Force today. So looking forward to chatting to him. Nina Kennedy, WA pole vaulter, who has jumped the qualifying height for the Olympics. So she's looking ahead to Tokyo, but she set a new PB last Friday night as well. So we'll have a chat to her. We'll check in with the Speedway as well with Gavin Migro, and plenty of time for your calls too on 9221 882. But our show is all just the prelude. It's all just the build-up to the night shift, which is going on after 8 o'clock when Todd Johnston is in the chair. That's it. We're the support band, and he is the main event.
I never thought about that. It made me laugh. That actually made me laugh. You guys are the support band.
Yep.
In my youth, I have been the support band for Australian Crawl.
Yep.
In my youth, I have been the support band for Tina Turner.
Really?
Yeah, that was pretty good. Paul Young.
Yep.
So when you all that. This, so we just wanted to give you the limelight.
Yeah, thanks very much. And to have you guys.
So you are the Tina Turner to our...
You should see me in heels.
Sports Day.
Did you ever do that, Jacko? You know those player reviews at the end of the season? Did you ever dress up in come on.
I was the first one.
Your first one?
In drag.
To put the heels on?
No, I loved it.
Did you have good legs in heels?
Yes.
Yeah. Any photos?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I hope not.
Because that would be before the cameras were attached to the phones,
wasn't
it?
That's right, yeah. We did our reviews at the Perth Entertainment Centre, the old Perth Entertainment Centre.
Oh, the hamburger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, the hamburger.
Hamburger.
We had a few hamburgers afterwards.
Yes. See, you just can't get off this support band thing.
Off the cobbles.
If ever I do a review, I want you to be in there as well. Not sure about Paps.
Yeah.
I'll be there.
Because I don't think his legs are that flat.
They're not. Definitely not.
Okay.
He's a bearded lady as well at the moment.
What do we got on the program tonight, mate? More importantly?
Thanks, Jacko, for saving us.
Jacko's moving us on.
He's
that's when you know we're in trouble.
The professional in the room is Glenn Jakovich. How good is that? And he hits the mute button when he coughs. How good is that? Today, dagging around at home, saw a snake in the garden, it's that time of the year. So if there are people that you can call, I didn't even know that, but I thought you had to go to sort of...
Snake catcher.
Yeah.
I saw one on the freeway yesterday, just had a sign on his car, the snake catcher.
Really?
Mm.
Okay, well, look, it's an easy interview, but to me I think it's relevant for this particular time. So we're not going to be world beaters, we're not going to break any new records, but we're going to find one and talk about it. The other thing too is when travel does return... gosh, wouldn't it be great to get on a plane and go somewhere? But we can't. Compliments of COVID. It's just the way that it is. But all of these planes are in sort of lockdown themselves. They're in the middle of a desert. Why are they in a desert too?
Tell us.
Why are they stored in a desert? Do you think it's the humidity?
Plenty of space.
No, it's not. It's so the insects don't get inside the plane. It's so the spiders don't get inside the plane. So all these planes are in lockdown, keeping away from the spiders. and when they get fired back up and we go back into travel, what's the process? I'm intrigued because safety. If you just leave them there and you don't maintain them, we need to chase that up. So
just a bit of CRC. It'll be all right.
That's not CRC.
Bit of the dirt work.
Okay. I'm not flying with you, mate. I'm not. Definitely not flying with you.
Don't tie it into your first interview because that would be snakes on a plane.
Which was a great movie.
Great movie.
Isn't that who starred in that?
Samuel L.
Gee whiz.
It's a terrible movie.
Are you telling us the movie on Jacko?
Yeah.
Snakes on a Plane. One of the classics. Why he didn't win a Logie or an Oscar is just beyond me. Of course, we're going to keep in touch with DFES because of the fire situation as well. And also just meeting a couple of really good quality local West Australians. One's a great storyteller. He's an old bloke, but he can spin a good yarn, love a good yarn. And also a fella who is promoting Western Australia, and he's just been doing it by himself, and he's done a fantastic job Perth today. So that's what I'm going to do. Are you guys listening? Kicking
Great
me out
stuff.
Now?
Yep, we're kicking you out
that's
now.
It, I knew it was
You've
got
to go and get ready.
Thanks, guys.
The main event, Todd Johnston, when we come
with high heels.
A little bit later on, we are the warm-up act, but we are here through until 8 o'clock. We've got plenty coming up on the show. Jacko, we need to continue with our AFL previews. We spoke the Pies before. Now the Western Bulldogs, and we spoke about the Pies tipping everyone out. The Bulldogs have been beneficiaries of that, and they look like they're just ramping things up heading into 2020.
Yeah, I like the Bulldogs. I like the brand of football they play. They're very daring. They take the game on. 10 wins, 7 losses last year. They finished 7th. They were 6th in scoring, 10th in defence. Their first 6 weeks... I didn't do their fixtures. That was poor by me. I must have forgot to do that today. But their core players, I really like their core players of Marcus Pontepelli, Easton Wood, their captain, Caleb Daniel, All-Australian last year. Jason Johansson, he needs to have a big season. I'm really predicting him to continue the form that he had in 2016. He's been a bit patchy. Has he won a Best and Fairest? Has he been an All-Australian since then? He's won a Norm Smith, but the consistency they're going to need with his run and carry of the ball is what makes the Bulldogs so exciting. Mitch Wallace, Tom Liberatore, Jack McRae, Lockie Hunter, Josh Dunkley, they're all premiership players and they can do it again. The thing that I've been focusing on in a lot of the reviews, Adam, is a two-pronged forward attack, key players. They brought in Josh Bruce and Josh Shackey from Gold Coast Suns and obviously from St Kilda. They haven't worked yet, and they need to get these two players firing in their forward line. They are 6th in defense, in scoring. They need to add to that. I've got them finishing in the top 6. but their next generation of players, this step up, which I'm really looking forward to as a footy fan, is Bailey Smith and our very own Aaron Norton. I think this guy can, you know, the ceiling is whatever he wants to make it. Ling Jong, who missed out in that grand final, the broken collarbone, and Toby McLean. Those four players, if they can add to the core and really become A-graders, that's going to really propel the Bulldogs in the top four. I like their defence, Alex Heath, Zane Cordy, Easton Wood and Hayden Crozier, who's done really, really well. But Adam Treloar, he's the big question mark. Not a question mark, but he, what role is he going to play? Is he going to become the number one midfielder? It's going to release Marcus Bontempelli from the tagging point of view. So I really like the Bulldogs in season 2021.
Their early season draw, of course, the grudge match against the Pies in round one. West Coast round two, Eagles playing away at Marvel. Round three against North Melbourne. Round four against Brisbane. Round five against the Suns. So three tough ones, two that they would certainly expect to win.
Yeah, so they've got a favourable draw. I like the way they run the ball. They're quick off half-back. They're quick side. You can score against them, but they're going to take the game on, and they're an exciting team to watch.
Are they a contender? Are they top four?
I've got them top six. Their forward line is still a work in progress, and Josh Bruce and Josh Ackie, I haven't seen any chemistry there. Are you going to leave the rest to the Bits players to score them, 80-plus points average on game?
Probably not. Mm. So it's going to be an intriguing year, though, for the West.
But the Bulldogs are building. They're not on the slide, they're building. They've had that readjustment after their premiership year, and I reckon they're on the rise. And with Adam Treloar added to their side, I really like the Bulldogs in season 2021.
Just how far...
to play an exciting brand of footy.
Just how far can they jump? Let's get an emergency bushfire warning. It remains in place for the southern parts of Atwell, northern parts of Auburn Grove and western parts of Banjup. For people in homes on or nearby Prosperity Loop, it's too late to leave. Leaving now would be deadly. You need to shelter in your home in a room away from the fire front and make sure you can easily escape. The rest of the warning area is for people bounded by Lion Road, Euphony Way, Beanie Up Road and Freycinet Court. You are in danger and need to act immediately to survive. There is a threat to lives and homes. If the way is clear, leave now for a safer place. The bushfire is moving in a northeasterly direction. It is out of control and unpredictable. Burning embers are likely to be blown around your home. Road closures are in place, including Gibbs Road between Tapper Road and Lion Road, Lion Road between Auburn Grove Link and Gibbs Road, and more information can be found on the Emergency WA website. Of course, that's an emergency bushfire warning which remains in place for the southern parts of Atwell, northern parts of Auburn Grove and western parts of Banjup. And please head to the Emergency WA website if you require more information. Just repeating, in the cricket, the Perth Scorchers with a 9-wicket victory. They really dominated tonight. Jason Roy with a great knock of 74. They only lost the 1 wicket in response, did the Perth Scorchers. So a 9-wicket victory as they wrap up their run of matches here at Optus Stadium. They restricted the Hurricanes to 5 for 139, and the Scorchers are easily chasing down that victory target. Plenty coming up on the show. We're going to check in with the Western Force in just a few moments' time. Rob Carney, their new Irish superstar, is going to join us after arriving in WA. Going to find out how his quarantine was and how he's settling in with his new teammates. This is Sports Day.
Welcome back to the show. Adam Papalia and Glenn Jakovic with you here on Sports Day right through until 8 o'clock. And let's get into our Western Force update. Western Force 2021 memberships are on sale right now. And one of the Force's big signings has arrived in Perth. He's taken part in his first training session with his new team as well. I'm talking of Ireland's most decorated player in Rob Carney, who joined us on the line now. Rob, thanks so much for your time and welcome to Perth.
Thanks a million, lads. Good to be on the show.
What's your first impressions of WA? It's nice and cool for you, I guess, coming from the Northern Hemisphere.
Yeah, it's a little bit cold compared to where I was coming from. But I think the biggest thing is just it's pretty normal, isn't it? And there's no COVID. Obviously, coming from Ireland, where things have gotten out of control a little bit, it's really refreshing and enjoyable to be in an environment that is virus-free.
We've been very, very lucky here, so I hope you do enjoy your time over in WA. Can you talk us through how it came to be that you signed for the Western Force?
Yeah, it came around quite late in the day, to be honest. I was on an out-of-contract list for the last 9 months or so, and communication didn't really start until August time, and there was keen interest, thankfully, from both sides, and everything moved really quickly, and we got something signed in September time, and I finished up with Leinster, my old club. So I've been at a little bit of a loose end for the last 3 months. So it's really nice to finally get here and get back into the team environment.
Rob, congratulations on your career thus so far. You've got an illustrious career back at home. What role has Tim Sampson, the Western Force coach, got you earmarked for this season?
Yeah, I suppose, you know, it's still early days. You know, we've had a little bit of dialogue over the last couple of weeks, but, you know, I'm hoping that my role off the field will be as important as on the field. And, you know, you've got a lot of young guys who are coming through the ranks here in a grassroots system that they're trying to make really strong. So, you know, hopefully I've been very lucky to have been a part of so many winning teams and good cultures over the year that if there's any sort of ways that I can replicate that and bring some of the learnings that I've had over the years to the Western Force.
You obviously played a lot of representative rugby as well, but you've spent your whole club career at Leinster. Does it feel a little bit different to be coming to the Force?
Yeah, it's really different. You know, I've been there for 15 years and you're very much in a small bubble inside of Dublin. So it's really exciting. It's a great opportunity to come to a new country, a new climate, meet new people, get into a different culture with teammates. And, you know, it's been a really great first day.
Rob, you grew up playing Gaelic football. Why the switch to rugby?
Well, I think rugby was always my number one love. And while I played a lot of Gaelic football growing up, I probably played more of it than I did rugby. Rugby was always professional. And it was the sport in my family that was really top of the tree. And I went away to a boarding school when I was 13. And I suppose it was there that rugby started to take over from the Gaelic football. But it's a sport that I love and I've missed playing it a lot down through the years.
Do you feel that playing Gaelic football enhanced and made you a better rugby player?
Yeah, I think it definitely did, specifically, you know, with regard fullback and the basic skill set of catching and kicking, which is so prominent in Gaelic football that I really do believe that learning a lot of those skills early on have enhanced my ability to play that position.
Had you been to Perth much before with either Ireland or the Lions?
So never with Ireland. The British and Irish Lions came here in 2013 for 4 or 5 days. So that was the last time that I was here, and thankfully I got to spend a bit longer this time.
How was the quarantine period? Because you flew into Brisbane first.
Yeah, straight to Brisbane. Quarantine, yeah, it was difficult. I think the lack of fresh air and the food were two big challenges. But, you know, myself and my fiance got through it for 2 weeks, which is probably the best pre-marriage course that you can get. So we came out of that with flying colours, so good signs for the future.
I was reading a story that you were trying to find some creative ways of keeping fit while you're in the hotel room in terms of bench pressing.
Yeah, did a bit of bench pressing the bed for the first few days. you know, you've got to get really creative when you're in there. And I think once you realise that you've got certain limitations with what you can do for a couple of weeks, you can adapt to it quite quickly and get creative with some of the exercises.
Rob, the Western Force have had some up and down periods through the leagues and so forth with ownerships, and you've been a part of a lot of success, and obviously the Western Force are going to be craving for that success. What do you see as the recipe over your experiences of getting a team right and that we can look forward for the Western Force for, you know, years to head?
I think the biggest thing with successful teams is just making sure that you've got a really strong culture there. And, you know, for me, that is the foundation of all team success. And from what I've seen so far, you've got a really good, diverse group of players who, you know, they've trained really hard over the last couple of months. Everyone's putting the work in. You've got some coaches there who are young. They're evolving with the game. And, you know, the more, you know, you've got a few international players coming to join the group now, which hopefully will bring the standard of training up a notch higher. And then you've got to make sure that the grassroots and the academy systems are a good feeder for the club long term too. So I think if you can you know, enhance all of those areas, you'll ensure that you've got a strong team going forward.
That's the academy system's definitely something that the Force have earmarked that they want to get right going forward. And you mentioned the internationals there. It is going to be an international flavour, isn't it? There's quite a few Argentinians and a few former All Blacks as well.
Yeah, there is. And, you know, I think that the Argentinians will land over the next few days. And, you know, if you've got five or six guys with international experience coming into the group to help nurture some of the younger guys and bring a bit of the expertise that they've learned throughout the course of the career, it can drive standards pretty quickly. And, you know, once those standards start driven up, and performances will follow, and hopefully you get a few more wins along the way.
How was the first training session today, and how long do you need to get back to full fitness, given you've been stuck in a hotel room for a couple of weeks?
Yeah, I think the fact that I've been in quarantine for a few weeks and, you know, not directly involved with the team for the last few months, it'll just take me, 10 days, a couple of weeks before I get back fully integrated into the team. And then hopefully once that happens, you know, we can accelerate my training quickly to be fully operating alongside everyone else.
And while you're stuck in the hotel room, were you doing any research on Perth and WA and what you're looking forward to checking out while you're here?
Yeah, lots of research on that. Now, I've tasked my fiance with that role. She's in charge of our diaries, but we got out for a nice swim down in City Beach last night, and that was the first thing that I wanted to do when I came out of quarantine, was just jump in the ocean, and it was as good as I had imagined.
Rob, have you picked an AFL team yet?
Not yet. I'm working on it.
Okay. Well, there's two in WA.
Sure that I do all my research before I nail my colours to the mast.
Okay.
Well, Glenn used to play for one of them, so I'll be definitely pushing you in a certain direction. But you make up your own mind, Rob. Great to have you here. Looking forward to seeing you in action for the Western Force. Enjoy Perth and WA, and I'm sure we'll chat soon. Thanks for your time.
Brilliant. Thanks for having me on the show, boys.
Thank you, Rob.
Rob Carney there from the Western Force, their newer Irish superstar recruit. Great to have him here. And you can just tell Jacko's got a wealth of experience, which is only going to be great for the Western Force squad. Of course, that is part of our Western Force update. You can join the Western Force in Super Rugby this year. 7 home game memberships are on sale right now. This is Sports Day. Well, thanks for your company on Sports Day. Adam Papalia and Glenn Jakovich with you this evening. Jacko, let's get into an Australian update. Look for the logo, be sure. It's Aussie. And very excited to chat to our next guest, WA pole vaulter in Nina Kennedy, who set a new PB on Friday night and is certainly looking ahead towards the Olympics later on in the year. And she joins us on the line now. Nina, thanks so much for your time.
That's okay. I'm happy to be here.
How excited were you to set that new PB of 4.75 metres on Friday night?
Yeah, I feel like it was a long time coming. So it was good. I was very excited.
Did you predict that sort of jump was coming?
You know, obviously because of COVID, et cetera, you know, we'd been training for so long. So I just feel like I had so much training in the bank. So, you know, to come out and do that, I was happy, but I wasn't too surprised.
Nina, Glenn Jakovich, welcome to the program and thanks for your time. Congratulations on your form thus so far. Getting back to training during the lockdown, the WAIS had an exemption from the WA state government, so that was obviously an advantage for you.
Yeah, it was, the WA state government, that was so helpful during that period. You know, we had obviously a couple of weeks at home doing our own thing, but they opened the facilities up pretty quickly after that.
You've qualified for Tokyo now. Obviously, with the uncertainty with what's going on with world sports, what updates have you got regarding Tokyo and being involved with the Australian team now?
Yeah, so... I think it's going to go ahead and just like we get updates through emails and stuff, just I think we'll have to go into the village just for our event, you know, in, compete and out and, you know, all those things, no crowds, maybe quarantining before or getting tests or whatever that means. I'm not sure what it looks like exactly, but yeah, it's definitely going to be different.
If it goes ahead, which we hope it does for all our athletes' ambitions, there's no doubting that. Have you got your sights set on Alana Boyd's Australian record of 4.81 metres?
I do. I have attempted it in my last two competitions now, and I'm definitely getting closer. So yeah, I'm looking to break that record very soon.
how you judge the fact that the Olympics was set back? Are you enjoying the fact that you've got more time to train and prepare and get better before the Olympics?
Oh, totally. You know, I'm a younger athlete. This is my first Olympics. You know, another year of training is like, whoa, this is great kind of thing. Like so much time to improve. So I'm happy about it.
it's good. I mean, for some athletes, obviously, that are at the other end of their career, an extra year can be pretty heartbreaking for them because they might not even make it there. But for someone in your position, the fact you've had an extra year to get another year stronger and better and work on your technique even more, it can really pay dividends.
Oh, exactly. And I think as soon as, you know, the postponement was announced, I was kind of, you know, I was bummed for, you know, a couple of minutes. And then I kind of just thought, yeah, I have an extra year of training when, you know, these old girls out there, they might want to stop. So more chance for me.
Nina, tell us about your team, given the isolation. Now, who you're training with, what partners, who can push you to jump and to perform and train at a higher level?
Yeah. So I have two amazing coaches. One of them, Paul Burgess, who has, you know, been to World Champs, Olympics. You know, he's one of the few men in the world to have jumped, you know, 6 metres. So he's like an awesome mentor to have around day in, day out. And then my team around me, I guess, we have Curtis Marshall, who did go to the Olympics in 2016, and he is, you know, the Commonwealth gold medalist, so he's amazing to train with, and he pushes me a lot, and I often try to train with the boys just because I love to be pushed, you know. And then we have Liz Parnov, who is also a 2012 Olympian. So, yeah, we have a few good jumpers around us at the moment.
Is there something you've been working on specifically to try and get better during this period?
Yes and no. Pole vault's such a weird sport that it's kind of like anything. It's like the stronger and the faster and kind of like the more mature you are, you just jump better. It's really hard to explain. It's a weird one. But, yeah, you know, I've been working in the gym. I've been working on my speed. And a lot of mental stuff as well with the, you know, the psychs and all that. So just working every area.
What's it like, the mental challenge of being a pole vaulter? It can be scary, I guess, or even when you're starting. I can't imagine what it would be like to be standing there ready to go and then to flick yourself up and over the bar. Is it a challenge at times?
Oh, for sure. You know, you hear about so many, you know, pole vaulters getting the yips. You know, Steve Hooker, at the end of his career, you know, that happened to him. Yeah, it's scary. Sometimes I just try and block it out and just, you know, rely on muscle memory because I don't want to think about how scary it is. But, yeah, it definitely has its challenges. But, you know, if you're strong in the head and, you know, it's like anything. The more you do it, the more you become confident in it.
Well, I won't bring it up again. How did you get into it, the sport, in the first place?
Yeah, so I did little athletics. You know, I think I started under 11s, under 12s, and then I think I was at a competition when I was maybe like 12 or 13, and, you know, Alex Parnoff was down there, and he kind of picked out a few of us because we were good runners and said, hey, you know, come try it. So I went and tried it, and then before I knew it, I was quite good. So I kind of just accidentally fell into it, really. But it's paid off, I think.
Certainly. Of course, a bronze medal at the Commonwealth Games in 2018. How much confidence did that give you to push towards the Olympics?
Oh, you know, so much. I was such a young athlete back then. I think I was 20. I think I was 20 when I competed. So I was young and I hadn't really been to a major championship where I was kind of in the position to win a medal. So I think that just really proved to myself that I, you know, can do things I set myself to. So that was just a huge confidence booster at quite a young age. So I'm going to take that into Tokyo.
So how does it work now? You've qualified, or you've jumped the qualifying height, but the selections won't happen for a couple more months?
Well, yes and no. Like, I've jumped the automatic qualifiers, so automatically in the team. Yeah, that's basically how it works.
But they just wait for the official tick off when they announce everything a little bit down the track. Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, it's great that you now know that where you're headed and what you're doing, and can you really set your plan?
Oh, exactly. You know, I'm quite happy to have qualified quite early in the season. So it's kind of like, we can do a bit more planning and a bit more preparation and work and, you know, not chase that qualifying height anymore.
Onwards and upwards. And you're competing in Bunbury this weekend at the WA Country Championships.
Yeah, I guess because we've not been able to really go anywhere because of, there's not many, competitions and there's travel restrictions. We're competing in Bunbury. So I've never competed at the Bunbury track before, so I'm pretty excited to check it out.
It'd be excellent. Scoot down the Forest Highway and check out down south, and hopefully you jump well, Nina. Great to have a chat with you. Thanks so much. Good luck.
Amazing. Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks, Nina.
Nina Kennedy there, WA pole vaulter, and we wish her all the best. As you said, Jacka, we'll be keeping a close eye on her in the lead-up to Tokyo. Part of our Australian update, it's never been more important to buy Australian than right now. This is Sports Day. Well, thanks for your company on Sports Day this evening. Adam Papalia, Glenn Jakovich with you, and let's get into a motorsports update. Thanks to Tony's Auto Wreckers, quality spare parts at competitive prices. And we are talking Speedway with Gavin Migro, who joined us on the line now. Gav, thanks so much for your time.
Adam, Glenn, great to be here.
I think last time I chatted to you, we were just sort of leading into the WA Speed Week. How did it all go?
Look, amazing. We had some great crowds, unbelievable racing. And, it was the first time ever we had six rounds of the series. Usually it's over four, but amazing. COVID's been a wonderful thing for us, funnily enough, from a venue point of view. And Speedway has been exceeding all our expectations with competitor numbers and fan numbers. So it's been quite an amazing period of that Christmas New Year period for Speedway.
We'll get into the results in a second, but how was it heading down to Bunbury, and you raced at Ellenbrook as well?
Yeah, look, Bunbury, they had a record crowd, believe it or not, and they brought in the new year at the Speedway, and the Bunbury Car Club did an amazing job with their effort of promoting the event. And then for the first time ever, we went to Ellenbrook, and being at Ellenbrook, which was usually a winter Sunday afternoon track, and they had an opportunity to taste test, I guess, the summer action, and they had I would say probably one of their biggest crowds that they've ever had in their venue's history, and I think it's about 40 odd years old now, 40, 50 years old, so they've done they did a fabulous job, and Brock Zervos absolutely put on a clinic. So it was brilliant to see, and wonderful that the club was so successful in getting a huge crowd, and they have some great racing teams there.
Gavin, you mentioned USA's Brock Zervos. He won the WA Speed Week.
Absolutely. So the Speed Week, Brock obviously came over from the US. He's from Pennsylvania, and he came across. This is his first ever trip down under. Quite a unique time in all of our history, I suppose, with the pandemic. And he had to have a 2 week quarantine sitting in Perth for that 2 week period. And then we went racing, and he finished on the podium in every single race that he participated in. He then won dapped it up with the last three rounds. So he won, his strike rate was quite unbelievable. And the fans absolutely bought into what he was doing. They really loved what he was all about. He's a really great guy, and he certainly will be welcome back to the West anytime that he wishes to come. And funnily enough, he gets to go. The biggest series in the world is called the World of Outlaws in America, and he's just signed up this year to starting in February to go on the World of Outlaw Tour. So he'll be a rookie on the World of Outlaw Tour. And, we're really excited that we gave him the leg up to showcase how good he actually is to the world.
Gavin, you said COVID's been good for you. However, drama for Victoria's James McFadden after winning round two was forced to leave WA due to the border lockdown for all Victorians.
Yeah, look, it was really a bit of a shock for us all. Obviously, the government chose to do a back date on the time, and James, unfortunately, he arrived here on Christmas Day, on Christmas night. So he'd spent Christmas with his family in Warrnambool, Victoria, and then he came across to here, flew over, and then everything was looking great. He finished second the first night, won the next night, and then it all just went pear-shaped, and he had to go in immediate quarantine for that. So he missed obviously the last four rounds, had to go home, and because he didn't want to quarantine again. And funnily enough, James is probably one of the top five drivers in the world, in my opinion, and he raced in America this year, but when he got back from the US he had to go into a 2 week quarantine in Sydney, and before he could get out and then go home to Warrnambool and then go racing again. So it's been a crazy, crazy time. But, you know, there's been some great stories to tell, and there's been some disappointments too, and I'm sure James would be disappointed because the amount of prize money that was on offer, there was, you know, well over $120,000 in prize money on offer for the drivers during that period, and obviously he would have been banking on probably taking the lion's share of it. So instead, Brock Zierfoss did, and he went home a pretty happy guy.
He certainly would have, and of course you've had some fires around the motorplex as well, which have created some issues.
Yeah, look, it doesn't rain, it pours, as they say in the classics. But we had a real tough run. Sunday week ago, we had the fires that went through the motorplex and or just around the motorplex, and some little spot fires got inside, which was wonderful. That you know, the FISA did an amazing job with protecting us and obviously the community and all that sort of stuff around the venue. But the unfortunate part about it, we had no power. So we had no power, which meant we couldn't turn the lights on, which meant we couldn't run the reticulation or run the bore pumps to even water the track. So and obviously the rubbish tip right next door to us was on fire for several days as well. So Defus wasn't too keen on actually having public in the venue around that period. But the great news is we got the opportunity to run on the Saturday. And once we got the power, we had generators running, offices and bore retic and all that sort of stuff just to keep the venue up to some form of scratch. And then once we got the power back on, which was officially switched on, I think late Thursday night, early Friday morning, we were able to get back in testing everything. And thankfully, there was only just a little bit of damage at the back end of the drag strip, which, you know, could have been a lot worse. But we were able to run our event and had another huge crowd. So, yeah, really, really wonderful time, but really challenging too for everybody.
Gavin, on the local front, WA's drivers, Geraldton's Callum Williamson, who finished third in the series after winning rounds 1 and 3.
Yeah, he was amazing. Oh, this kid is such a talent. He's currently leading the Baddington Toyota Sprint Car Series as well. So he won those two rounds, as you said, Glenn, and but unfortunately had a couple of DNFs too, which made it a little bit difficult for him, and he dropped off a few points from that. But to see him come from behind in round one and pass James McFadden, like I said earlier on, probably one of the best drivers in the world, to see him hunt him down in lap traffic and then pass him, the crowd absolutely erupted. You know, it was a huge Boxing Day crowd. So to see that, and then he did the same thing to Brock Zierfoss with like a lap and a half to go at Bunbury, and that, you know, brought the crowd to their feet. And it was just wonderful to see this young kid doing what he's doing best. And, you know, he's got such an exciting future and a really great family as well. And very humble, as you'd imagine most of the people from the country are, and the Giro people are very much like that.
Well, great stuff, Gav. Just finally, what have you got coming up?
Right, this weekend, the Perth Motorplex has Motivation, which is the biggest street machine show in Western Australia, and just maybe the biggest street machine show in the country this year. We seem to be okay at the moment. So we're actually have aligned ourselves with the Summer Nats, people that run it in Canberra. So we've aligned ourselves for that, and we've got over 500 cars being for the 3-day event. So Friday night, all day Saturday, Saturday night, and all day Sunday. Well worth getting down to have a look. To all the tickets and details on motorplex.com.au. And then after that, we've got drag racing and then Speedway at the back end of the year, so back end of the month. So really exciting times at the Perth Motorplex.
Well, I know our news director in Lisa Barnes is a very big fan of Motivation, or has been in previous years. So you may see her down there, I reckon, over those couple of days, Gav. Thanks so much for your time and giving us an update.
Good on you, boys. Thanks very much for your support.
Thanks, Gavin.
Gavin Migro there from the WA Speedway, of course, as part of our motorsport update. If you're on the hunt for quality car parts, you can't go wrong with Tony's Auto Wreckers. This is Sports Day. Well, thanks so much for your company on Sports Day this evening. Been another busy, busy show. Thanks to all of our guests, to Rob for producing. Jacko, great to have you in the chair.
Thanks, Paps. Really enjoyed working with you tonight and look forward to tomorrow night.
Yeah, looking forward to the rest of the week. We'll be here right through until Friday. Of course, a big show coming up tomorrow night as well. We'll check in with Adam Voges, the coach of the Perth Scorchers. Of course, they were in action tonight. And the Perth Wildcats coach in Trevor Gleeson. Now we've got confirmation, we hope,
fingers crossed that that is going to be their opening fixture against the South East Melbourne Phoenix, which they are aiming towards now. But coming up after the 8 o'clock news, Todd Johnston will be in the chair to take you through till midnight with the night shift.